It's Tuesday, August 9th. You're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast. I am Todd Cochran, your host, and welcome to the show. And we got a great one lined up for you today. And if you are a first-time listener, make sure you get over to the Geek News Central website and check out all the great content over there. Of course, make sure that you check out all the archive podcasts as well. And to all my long-term listeners, thanks so very much for staying subscribed and being with us. How's everyone? How was your weekend? How was your first day back to work? I know that mine was an atypical Monday, and actually wasn't too bad. But, you know, here in Honolulu right now, it has just been, it's been hot. And, you know, people say, too bad, it's hot year-round. Well, you know, there's different degrees of hot here in Hawaii. And you know, in June, July, August, it gets in the 90s during the day. And obviously, there's still no humidity, so it's really isn't that hot. But this week's been warm, and the AC has been a hard time keeping up. And my office, which is full of computers, has just been stifling. So tonight we actually went into shutdown mode, and I've got three machines shut off to try to cool the room off a little bit. But I'm still sitting here, and I've got a glass of iced tea, and I have a Red Bull. So I am ready. I'm ready to put on a good show for you guys. I'm actually feeling pretty good, though. This weekend, I finished my last final exam, did pretty good on the test, and I got another course in progress, but I got a little bit of a reprieve right now, a few weeks before I have another test. But it's getting towards the end of summer when you have to start putting the kids to bed a little earlier because you're getting them back in the mode of getting ready to start school again. They start here in a couple of weeks, and some of the schools here in Hawaii are already in. They're in one of these year-round schedules. But fortunately, they've got another couple of weeks left, and then we'll have them back in school. Mom's looking forward to them being back in school and getting out of her hair during the day, so she has a little private time. Got a lot of little things in my show notes here. I listened to an interview that Rob Greenlee did with Adam Curry on podcasting. It was a full 90 minutes of an interview. They cover a lot of territory. I think some of it's real good. So this interview of Adam's over on IT Conversations. So those of you that are have not checked that out yet, it's probably a good interview to listen to. And it's good to see that Rob tried to hold Adam to speak to the fire a little bit, but Adam wasn't biting very much on some of the key questions. He was being very, elusive in some of his answers. But otherwise, good interview. Now, many of you knew I turned trackbacks off on Geek News Central for a while, and the reason was is I was getting quite literally trackback spam. You know, several instances every second was trying to be sent to the site. So I figured if I shut the trackbacks off for 2 or 3 weeks, it would give the spammers would figure out that maybe I wasn't that the file wasn't there, and they would take me off their hit list. Well, I turned it on last night just before I went to bed. And I woke up this morning to 182 trackback spams that had been caught and flagged, which added about 70 new domain names to my blacklist. So, you know, it's what are we going to do? You know, I hope the team over there at Six Apart really gets something done with this, with the new version of Movable Type that's coming out, because it's almost become to the point where it's useless, and I'm not going to be able to deal with it if it just continues as bad as it is. So I'm just going to keep track and let you guys know how hard they're hitting the server. And I just got to watch it, too, because it does start to cost me some server performance after a while. Okay, we've had a whole bunch of you sign up for the mailing list. So I've got two books to give away. for the Podcasting the Do-It-Yourself Guide, which you can find at amazon.com/podcasting. And from what I've been told, it's still selling very, very well. So we're real happy about that. But Steve Harlan and Tony Mass, congratulations. You two have won yourselves copies of the book. So make sure you send me an email to geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, and let me know what your mailing address is. Also, I have sent everyone's books that up to this point have been sent out, okay? So if you don't get your books within 3 or 4 days, I need another email from you saying, hey, I haven't got one. I got one today, and I've got a list here of everything that I've sent. I said, yep, I sent it on this certain date. So if you don't get it, make sure you let me know, okay? As far as I know, I'm square with everyone that was due a book. Okay, we announced the winners of the podcast awards, my company Podcast Connected, on Friday. Congratulations to all the winners over there. The team that came out on top for the People's Choice Podcast of the Year was This Week in Tech with Leo Laporte and his gang. Congratulations. Best Produced Podcast was The Daily Source Code by Adam Curry. And then along with that, 18 additional winners down through the cats. A lot of great podcasts there. And my goal is going to be over the next several months, we're going to try to interview every one of those podcasters and do some short spotlights for them so that you guys can get to know some of those podcasters a lot better than maybe what you know already. Now, I've been talking to you guys about the special promotion that we're going to be running on Saturday. Okay, Saturday, August 13th, over at techpodcast.com, we're going to be hosting a live GoToMeeting event. It's basically going to talk about podcasting tips, tricks, and all kinds of things that you can do to make your podcast better. I'm going to be covering BlogTorrent and self-server seeding. We're going to be covering audio levels. We're going to be covering RMS. We're going to be talking about ID3 tagging. And we may even cover a little bit about post-production audio. It's going to be a great event. Now, here's the best deal. If you pre-register over at techpodcast.com/special.html and you show up to the meeting on Saturday, you're going to be in the running to win a podcast shuffle. And I'm going to be giving 2 books away during the promotion. So make sure you get over there and get signed up. And here's our message about the promotion for the GoToMeeting event. So listeners, mark August 13th on your calendars. Why? Because the techpodcast.com roundtable will be hosting an interactive live event using GoToMeeting, an advanced web conferencing application to demonstrate the coolest podcasting tips, tricks, and best practices that we've uncovered. You're going to love the demo and GoToMeeting, the web conferencing tool that will revolutionize how you hold small or large meetings. No more traveling to collaborate, train, present, or meet. Just use GoToMeeting and everyone can see what you see on your desktop. All you need is an internet connection and a phone. Plus, there are no hidden costs, just one flat monthly fee. Best of all, you can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter the promo code TechPodcast. That's GoToMeeting.com, Try It Free button, promo code TechPodcast. See the show notes for details and links to sign up at TechPodcast.com for the special event. Okay, so now, along with that, I got a lot of listener email this time, and we're going to get through as much as we can here. I got an email from Andrew who tells me that he found a 1 terabyte disk drive for $6.99. They're external FireWire 800 by, I can't pronounce it, Lacie. I don't know. I think I've heard. I don't know if I've heard good or bad things about these drives. I think I've heard Adam Curry talk about these drives before, not necessarily in a positive light, but you can get a refurbished 1 terabyte FireWire from them for $6.99. Amazing. A terabyte for $699. So, you know, obviously it doesn't make that $500 range, but it's getting close, so it won't be too long before that. Thanks for the email, Andrew. Do appreciate it. And if anybody wants the any more info on those drives, on those refurbished drives, send me an email, geeknews@gmail.com, and I'll forward that to you from him. Thanks. Got an email from Jim. And Jim is basically said, he starts off saying, what's up, Todd? I just wanted to thank you for inspiring me to create my own podcast. And he just started his show, and it's located over at www.teamk.us. So it's teamk.us. He says it's still a little rough, and he's figuring the levels out, and he's working on the show. But go ahead and go over there and check out Jim's show. Thanks for the feedback, Jim. I really do appreciate it, and I'm glad that you've been able to get a lot of information from the tutorials in the book. I also got an email from John, and John is in the UK, and he's got a tech question for me. He recently bought a budget USB flash drive, and he says, consequently, it does not have built-in encryption features. And he wants to know if we have any listeners or know of any open-source software that will provide some security features such as password protection of the selected files and folders. Now, John, I've never seen external USB flash come with any type of encryption. Now, I do know, and I have personally used pretty good privacy, and they have a encryption thing there where you can lock down folders. Maybe some of the other listeners know of something that's open source that you can use to lock the USB stick down. But I was kind of surprised that you made it apparent in this email that you have had a disk or a USB stick before that has some sort of encryption on it. And I'm not aware of those. So enlighten me a little bit, and maybe a listener out there will have an idea and be able to give us some feedback and help you out. Okay, Pito sent me an email, and he's been working on a website. It's called blogbridge.com. It's an open source cross-platform aggregation system. And he's been working on heading it up for the last year or so. And he basically says, yawn, another aggregator. But he does have some comments on its utilization. It's really for power users and those that follow hundreds of feeds. And it's integrated really well with Delicious. It's also integrated with Technorati, Feedster, Flickr, and a few other analogous sites. I guess I just blew that, didn't I? And it runs on Mac, Windows, Linux equally easily. It's free. I'm definitely going to get over there and check out blogbridge.com. So I hope everyone else does too. Another one of our listeners, Haley, he says, subject of the title is another blog. He says, hey, Todd, I've been a listener for the GNC podcast since last year, and I love it. Thanks for the comment on the show. And we excited him enough to start his own blog. So congratulations on getting that going. And he's located over there at livejournal.com/user/CafeDigirati. It's CafeDigirati. So you guys go over there and check out Haley's blog and give him some feedback, and I'm sure he'd appreciate it. Now let's save you some money. The perfect way to start is with your own .com name, and my friends at GoDaddy.com make it fast, fun, and affordable. Right now, you can get .com names for just $6.95 at GoDaddy. No limit. Just enter ComSale. That's ComSale. ComSale as your source code. For .coms, it's GoDaddy.com. Okay, thanks for GoDaddy for being a sponsor of the show, and let's kick it up here a little notch, as Ebro would say from the Food Network. And let's get into all the powerful content we have for the show tonight. And I tell you what, you guys just make me so, I get all these emails from you, and I really do appreciate it. I really do. You guys make my day and get some positives. Every once in a while I get a negative. And when I do get a negative, we'll read it on the show too, so you guys can hear it. And hey, I haven't seen too much actual movement on the mailing list. I have the announce list only. Those of you that are on the mailing list, hey, make some replies in there once in a while so that I know that you guys are still breathing in there, okay? I know that there is a bunch of you that are in that mailing list. I'm surprised that none of you are really talking. Okay, sad news coming out of from the news world, from the real news world, with the death of Peter Jennings. And our hearts go out to his family. He basically died at a very young age of 67 from lung cancer. And you know, he had a serious battle there with that. And again, our hearts go out to his family. And we'll probably, you know, all of us have watched Peter Jennings on TV. I know we all have. And we're definitely going to miss him as a news anchor and as a figure in this world. Okay, over on the BBC, they're reporting, or at least Apple is reporting. You know, Apple always likes to talk about good things. And they never report bad things, of course. But apparently, in the first 4 days of the iTunes launch in Japan, they sold a million songs. Is that amazing? Just in 4 days. Think about that, a million. So I'm sure Steve Jobs is just smiling from ear to ear. And but they've downloaded a million songs. What is the rate at which people here in the United States and elsewhere that have access to the iTunes music store are buying music from Apple? I would have to look that up and see if I can find out. But they're saying that with 22 million iPods being sold so far globally, since its launch in 2001, you know, that means, in essence, really, if you think about it, that, gosh, one in 22 persons bought music from the Japan launch. Simply amazing. That's very good turnover, very good ROI, as they would say in the advertising industry. But congrats on Apple, and I know my wife's pretty happy about the iTunes launch there. Okay, there's over on Business Week, I found an article. It's basically entitled Photo Finish. Okay, now everybody's going to show their age here. How many of you in your closets have some 35 millimeter slides? I'm sure some of you are going, yeah, we've got some buried somewhere in a closet. Now, how many of you have actually taken those slides out and got those either converted, paid to have them converted, or put them in a scanner and got them converted? You guys are aware that there are scanners out there now that you can actually scan those negatives, or actually those slides, and be able to get make a picture out of them. So I know that the scanner I have underneath the table here, I have my desk set up, is I have some of my peripherals up underneath. The scanner that I have here will take 35 millimeter slides. It does a pretty good job, but I think the scanner that I have was only $160, I think, when I bought it about a year ago. But they've got some real good ones out there. The Nikon CoolScan VED is around $500, and this machine will scan your pictures quickly and with a minimum of fuss, according to Business Week. So for those of you that have 35 millimeter slides out there, go out and start getting those things converted before it becomes too late and the material deteriorates. Now, here's the next question. There's a lot of those companies out there that do 8 millimeter conversion. I'm just wondering, and that's when I say 8 millimeter, I'm saying these old videotapes. Do any of you remember back in the 70s when your fathers or maybe yourselves had those big bulky cameras, and they were basically the first entry video cameras for consumers? My father had one, and I was only 5, so that would have been 35 years ago, 36 years ago, and he actually filmed a lot of stuff. We'd done some trips to California, etc., and all of those 8 millimeters are still in a box. I know where they're at, my mom's house. They're still in a box. They're not in any humidity-controlled area, so who knows what the condition of them is. But if you don't want to pay to have that done today, because I know there's companies out there that still do that, what are people using? Are they actually playing those and then videotaping them? Or how are they recovering those 8-millimeter films today? If anyone's got a home solution for that, I'd be very interested in hearing that. And because I'd really like to recover those films and get them on DVD so that, when my kids get old enough to have kids, they can see what Grandpa looked like when he was 5 years old running around. So let us know if you have any suggestions. There's a I like reading Dan Gilmore's weblog, and I read it on a daily basis. And today he has a article on the site that says Corporate Social Responsibility in the Bay Area and Beyond. It basically talks about corporate social responsibilities, and it kind of goes along with a class that I'm actually taking right now that talks about social responsibilities. And I think that some of the things he says in here is really good, and there's actually going to be a conference that he's going to be going to, or actually with someone else, and basically talking about this at a topic on Monday at the SD Forum at the International SIG meeting in Palo Alto. If anyone's going to that listens to this show, I'd really like to get a recording of this. So I'm going to send an email off to Dan. Maybe he'll be nice enough. Maybe he can record it for me while he's there. Maybe not, but I sure'd like to hear it. Last night, my wife came in. I was, what was I doing? I don't know. I was doing something on the computer, and it had already gotten dark. And she goes, we were outside and watching the sunset, and you could see the moon, and there was this beautiful planet behind the moon. What planet was it? Can you find it on the internet for me? And I kind of like, yeah, honey, I can find it for you. Don't worry. So I came in upstairs and I was Googling a moon, planet, date, the whole nine yards. And boy, oh boy, you know, the net is just a wonderful thing. Because within about 3 minutes, I was able to walk downstairs and I was saying, honey, that was Venus. And she goes, how did you find that so fast? Oh, I know where to go find that on the internet. So a great site that I have found that I wasn't familiar with before is spaceweather.com. And that's where I actually found the information. So check out spaceweather.com for those of you that are into space and science, that kind of stuff. Looks like a great, great site. Okay, all you podcasters out there, CBS is looking for podcasters. And you'll have a chance to audition, basically to go and interview some of the Hollywood elite in, when is it? It's going to be in San Francisco in September, actually in Hollywood in September. So if you are a podcaster and you'd like to get out and become world famous and have your 15 minutes of fame, there I'll have a link up on the show notes to this website where you actually can apply. Now, you have to submit a three-minute audition. It has to be an interview audition. So let's see if we can get a Geek News Central podcaster to the CBS podcasting call. I'd really like to see one of you guys that listen to the show make this, you know, to do this. This would be awesome, especially if you got picked up. Okay, have you guys heard about Microsoft had recruited some bloggers, and they have launched a new website today, and I got to find it here. It's called filter.msn, and it's a very interesting site in that it covers technology, some other subject areas, but it doesn't tell you who's writing the weblog post. But apparently what Microsoft is saying is this website is going to be the end for all, where you can go and find all the filtered content, all the good stuff. They're going to have the bloggers search the blogosphere to find all these good technical articles so that you don't have to. And they kind of likened it after some of the stuff that they do over at Weblogs Incorporated. So my question is, along with some other people out there in the blogosphere, is who's doing the writing? Who's doing the filtering? Who's creating content? Who's the face behind the filter at MSN.com? So here's your challenge, folks. I want to find out who the blogger is, all right? Does anybody know who the blogger is? You guys willing to drop me a little email at geeknews@gmail.com and tell me who that is? I would really appreciate it. Now, you guys remember I talked to you last week about a document that is the radio industry has that they were not real happy about the Podsphere? Someone sent me a copy of a report. That's kind of all I'm going to say for now. I'm still deciphering it a little bit. But I'm going to be putting a blog post up in the next day or so that's going to highlight some of the things that were in that report. Now, well, the only reason that I'm thinking that there might be another report out there was is I don't understand from the information I'm reading within it, I don't know if it would be enough to make regular broadcasting people have the reaction that I've seen over the last couple of weeks. So I guess we'll keep our fingers crossed. And if anybody else has anything else to send me, go ahead and send it to me. But I'll be putting up some notes about that. And the source that sent me that, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And we'll leave it at that. Hey, I found a site called TechCrunch.com. A pretty cool little site. Turned me on to a website called Blink Sale. And basically, Blink Sale is for small business people, and it's an invoice service. You know, I really do hate, I hate paperwork. I really do. And I've actually, my wife's aunt turned me on to a bookkeeper, and I'm actually going to be having a bookkeeper take care of all my books so that I don't get in trouble with Uncle Sam and the IRS this year. But this might be a cool way to do invoices. And so if you've got a small business, go ahead and check out blinksale.com. Lots of cool sites are popping up. This site in particular uses Ajax as the technology. So I thought that was that's pretty unique. Okay, have you guys heard about what the Amazon A9.com project is doing? They're basically, they have a fleet of vehicles that have rooftop carriers that have cameras mounted in them. And they have a firewire connection that goes down into the car. And they just, these guys drive all over cities and throughout the United States. And they're basically taking pictures of everything. And they're, it's tied to a GPS. And what eventually is going to happen is that when you get ready to go look for an apartment, buy a house, when you're getting ready to maybe open a business and you're looking for a location, you're going to be able to like virtually surf the net into a neighborhood. Or you're going to be able to, you know, if you look at a realtying list, you know how you see houses that straight on shots for a realty listing, but you don't know what's across the street or next to it. But can you imagine the power of, you know, in, also another thing you're going to find out is this picture was taken just a spot, a, you know, a snapshot in time. So you can actually see how the people really lived before you got there and the repair of the house. Is that going to be cool or what? But anyway, you're going to be able to virtually drive down streets, look at buildings, look at graffiti, look at everything that is around in the neighborhood, good and bad. Think of the power in that and be able to decide, yeah, I'd like to put a business here. And there, look, there's the building I want to be in, and go over there and actually see if that building's still available. Or in a, you know, you actually maybe are sold a bill of goods. You're looking to open up a business or move to a different city, and someone says, "Oh, you get hire realtors. Oh yeah, we found you a great apartment in a certain neighborhood," and you go on that blind trust of that realtor, you know, getting you into an apartment before you get there, and you arrive and you're in a bad section of town. So I think this is cool. I think it's really awesome what they're doing. They have taken apparently mapped already 20 major American cities. And they have a bank of 30 million images. So imagine that. Just imagine if they did the entire country that way. Think of the power in that. Is that amazing or what? Okay, Yahoo has put into place a new impression counting system for accurate and consistent measurement of advertising rates. So if those of you are aware, Yahoo is launching their own basically AdSense program. And they are going to be using some new technology, supposedly, that's going to allow them to be able to measure when ads are actually displayed on sites. I know a lot of you have ad blockers running on your computers, and you don't allow certain images to pop up. But they're actually going to be able to track that good. So those of you that advertise on the web, looks like some cool things going on there with Yahoo. This was reported... This was reported by Design Technica, and a nice little article. So, you know, it's all about the impressions, folks. They want to know if the ad's seen or not, and if it is, then you get paid. If it isn't, then you don't get paid. So I guess it makes sense. Okay, this is the most important thing that you need to listen to tonight. Okay? You really do. You need to listen to this. And I'm going to read this headline off this article from eWeek. Spyware researchers discover ID theft ring. And now this is the totally, this is scary. Spyware researchers picking apart one of the most notorious spyware programs have stumbled upon what appears to be a massive identity theft ring hijacking confidential data from millions of infected computers. Okay, now, this is how it works. And I'm serious, when you guys need to go out and check on, if make sure you don't have this application on your machines. Basically the adware is called Cool Web Search. And this application is infecting machines with basically a key tracker, key logger. And it makes it real hard. It's a real hard thing for spam and adware blockers to catch, okay? And it doesn't even tell which applications are catching it. But this thing is capturing everything that you do, everything that you're surfing, everything that you're typing into your computer. And then the data is going back, and it's still going back to a server in Texas, of all places. And it's just compiling all this information. And then when the file gets to a certain size, it smashes it down and then invokes another copy. And they were looking at the log files because the guys from the security firm tracked it back to a server and were actually able to see stuff in log files that included logins to business accounts that had more than $350,000 in their account. And it's nuts. Just think about that, okay? There's a free utility on the website that I'll have linked to that will allow you to scan your computer for this Cool Web Search application. Okay, so it just goes to tell you folks, be real careful what you're installing out there. If you find that you want to install some tool, you need to do some searches on Google about it to see if that application has got any spyware in it, all right? And be real careful out there, okay? And the tool is available for Windows XP 2000, Windows Millennium Edition, and Windows 98. It's free. It'll scan for this particular application. So, beware. There's still a lot of nasty stuff out there. And make sure that when you're in websites just remember, even if you're in an encrypted website with a keylogger, they still own you, okay? There's nothing you can do to really protect yourself if your computer spyware detection system, etc., has not picked up on it. So read this eWeek article and completely, okay, and make sure that you're protecting yourself. Okay, on a more positive note, how many of you would like to take your TV with you? So let's say that you're on travel or you're at work and there's some cool program coming on that you want to watch. There is a new tool, and it's basically a new box that you can buy. It's called a Sling Box, and you can get it at, slingmedia.com, slingmedia.com. It's $249, doesn't cost you a penny after you buy it. There's no monthly subscription fees, and basically it goes between your TV, it connects into your TV and your internet router. So what happens is if you're at work on a broadband connection, you can watch your soaps or you can catch a big game, or if you're on the go, let's say you're on travel overseas and you want to make sure that you catch a show that you've been really wanting to watch, or the news or whatever it may be. So this is kind of a different application, because there's some services that have been out like this before, but they were on a monthly charge. So I am definitely going to look at this really, really close, because I tell you what, it works on PAL, it works on European TV Broadcasting Standards, and supposedly, hopefully soon, CCAM. So guess what? It's going to probably work in Japan. Now, let me think. Japanese TV here in Hawaii cost about $30 a month to be subscribed to 5 channels. If I buy this unit, put it in Okinawa with my wife's family at their home, put it in between the TV, as long as it will do everything it does there as it does here, get my wife off my back so she can watch Japanese TV on the computer. Aha! smart on my part. So I think that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to see if it'll work. No guarantees, of course, but definitely one way to, there's more than one way to skin a cat. All right, Robin Good, again, he is the man. He's got a listing today of 10 different websites and applications that he has found. I'll just read through them real quickly. But you can find his website over at masternewmedia.org. And today he reviews Blinklist, WikiHow, ScreenHunter 4, WP Panorama, WiggyWiggy.com. Oh, here's one. Podcasting with QuickTime version 7. Newsy, Vox Delishy, Feed Digest, Color Pick. Oh, there's more than 10. And Computer on a Stick. All of these, I don't know where he finds out this stuff. I really don't. But if you're not subscribed to his RSS feed already, you need to be. This is one website that you're going to want to check out, and all the cool picks he's found for us this week. And this is his basically his media picks of the week. All right. More information about stolen Wi-Fi. We've talked about that to death here. I'm going to just basically put a link up in the show notes. If you're interested in reading about it, you can. Basically, lock down your Wi-Fi. We're not going to beat a dead horse, but it's in the news again. Over in PC World's reporting that Microsoft is going to reissue Windows 2000 Service Pack 4 again. And it's apparently because there's been some issues with some users having problems with the current version. So Microsoft has updated the SP4 rollout, and that was released in June. And they're going to reissue it so that people can over basically, if you've already installed it, they want you to rewrite over what's been installed already, and it's going to clear up some of the issues that has already been happening. You know, it's been happening with the Service Pack release. So if you're a Windows 2000 user, it'd be good information for you. Okay, IBM's going to start podcasting. And matter of fact, I think I know the podcaster that is actually going to be consulting with them. So they're actually reaching out, it looks like, to the podcasting community and actually using podcasters to help them get their podcast off the ground. So it's going to be kind of cool that they're going to be podcasting. We're looking forward to listening to their show. Okay, terrible news from the FCC. Obviously, the day after the last show, the FCC has reclassified broadband services. So now, what this means to all of you that are on DSL is less choice. Your baby bells do no longer have to basically allow third-party internet service providers co-location. They don't have to provide them access to the switch, or they don't have to give them reduced prices. So this could kill a lot of DSL providers. So be watching this space very, very close. And it's too bad that this happened, really. But, you know, the bells are powerful, and they probably had a pretty good lobby with the FCC and got this change. And this kind of follows what happened with cable last year. But anyway, cable and DSL operators will no longer be subject to common carrier rules. So it's a major, major issue. Hear my boy screaming there? He was just come upstairs, I think. Okay, NASA is still planning a September launch of Atlantis, so they're working the foam issue really hard, trying to get that squared away, but let's keep our fingers crossed. They pushed the launch window back to September 22nd, and let's keep our fingers crossed. Now, that only is going to give them a very short launch window of 4 days, but because of the Discovery getting off the pad late, caused them to slide Atlantis a little bit already. Now, we know probably about the time I get done recording this podcast is when Discovery is due to do its deorbit burn. Obviously, they were delayed a day, so Godspeed to the crew coming back. And I know that we're all looking forward to them coming home. I was sitting up watching TV last night, hoping that I was going to get to watch the landing. And if I get this processed tonight, actually, I'm going to be able to turn up NASA TV while I'm putting up the show notes and be able to get to check that out. Now, I didn't know that NASA was planning to send another probe to Mars, but as NASA is preparing to launch an unmanned spacecraft on Wednesday, which is, I was totally shocked. I didn't realize this was going down. but they're going to be launching this orbiter, or actually launching this a 2-ton orbiter from the Cape on Wednesday at 7:54 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And it looks like that weather conditions are favorable. So I guess we've got a chance to send another satellite to Mars. I guess, I don't know if it's actually, is this probe actually going to land on Mars, or is it just going to be another one of those units? I'll get some more information for you on that, and I'll give you some feedback. Hey, we're at 39 minutes. Last show was long, and I don't want to keep you long today. I am going to run some promos for you from some people that have sent some in. I want to thank you. And I got some voicemails tonight, too. You guys been tearing up the voicemail line. Keep on doing that. You can reach me on the voicemail line at 619-342-7365. That's 619-342-7365. Along with that, you can Skype me at Geek News Central. You can contact me at geeknews@gmail.com. And you can also submit your promos to geeknewspromo@gmail.com. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks for staying subscribed. We really appreciate it. And we'll see you on Friday, obviously. And don't miss that meeting at techpodcast.com on Saturday. If you guys got time to visit, that's going to go down at 1:30 Pacific Daylight Time, 1:30 on Saturday the 13th. Get over there and sign up, win a shuffle, and get a chance to win a couple of my books. We're going to have a lot of fun doing that, and we're going to have some of the team members over there putting on a good show. And if nothing else, we'll have a lot of fun. But I'll leave you with that, and we'll play these voicemail comments and the promos. So here it comes. I had almost forgot that I had also received a voicemail that basically was a prank voicemail. I can't play it on the show. And also I got another voicemail from someone that was basically telling me, hey, take care of your grammar on your website. And I guess the response I had to this is, we'll try to watch it, but you got to remember, I've got a life. I try to keep everything as clean as possible on the website, but just sometimes it can't happen, and I don't get as much time to edit as I want to. Here's the promos.
Hello, Todd. This is Michael of the Commoner's View of the World podcast. I heard you talking about water and filtering on your latest podcast, number 88, I believe, and I just wanted to say that a while back in school, I did a lab experiment with taste testing, et cetera, on different brands of water. The main subject was this water called Penta Water, and I figured you might want to go check that out. I think it's pentawater.com, but supposedly it's the best filtered water on the planet, and there's some technology involved, so I figured you might want to go check that out. All right. I'd appreciate it if you gave a shout-out to my podcast, The Commoner's View of the World, which is located at commonercast.tk, and it would be greatly appreciated. Thanks, Todd. Bye.
You got your shout out.
Hi, Todd. This is Will from Pittsburgh. I just wanted to let you know that I checked out the new Mighty Mouse, the Apple Store in Shadyside, and I'm not sure if I quite like it. It's not bad, but the scroll wheel is a little too small. It's just like this little ball on it. And you seem to scroll a little too fast. But it's not bad. I'm just not sure if I would get one quite yet. I'd probably wait until maybe there was a Bluetooth version. I'm not real big on the whole wired thing with it, but just wanted to give you a comment, and just wanted to say thanks for putting out such a great show, and I hope you keep it going. Thanks.
Okay, here's some promos for you.
Raiders! 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 Raiders!
That's right, Raider Nation. Now you have a podcast. The Silver and Black will have a great year, and the Raider cast will be there every step of the way. So visit www.theraidercast.com. Are you fan enough?
Touchdown, Raiders!
Nobody likes it, but everybody's got to do it. QA is the ugly sister of the software industry, but we love her. QA Podcast is a bi-weekly 15 to 20 minute show about software quality assurance. Each show features software professionals in conversation about a particular business or technical topic. Come check us out at qapodcast.com.
Hey, this is Bagelstar.
Hey, this is War Machine.
We want you to listen to our Halo 2 Talk podcast,
where we cover Halo news,
Bungie happenings,
strategies,
glitches,
interviews,
and that low-life cheating scum.
And everything else Halo or Bungie related.
So go to our website now and subscribe to Halo 2 Talk
at www.haloforefathers.com.
Blue's better.
Red's better.
Keep the promos coming, folks. We'll see you on Friday. Aloha. Stay subscribed. Bye-bye.